In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Immediately. At once. Does that stun you? If you take a step back from this for a moment and think this through, it should be absolutely stunning to hear the reaction of these men to Jesus' invitation to follow him. They had met Jesus already. Our gospel lesson from last Sunday makes us aware of their familiarity with him, some of the things they had already heard from him and heard about him. But they could hardly know in this moment what it all meant for Jesus to call them to follow him. Oh, we know well, because we know the rest of the Gospels, the wild, crazy, blessed ride that this would become for them. As they would share in Jesus' ministry, they would follow him everywhere he went for more than 3 years. Eating wherever he ate, sleeping wherever he slept, doing whatever he asked them to do, what he trained them and projected them out into the world to do. The things that they saw, the words that they heard, the opportunities that he gave them to serve the Lord, to proclaim the kingdom of heaven being near, even to do miracles. Even those most amazing of miracles. Remember how when they came back from their excursions as two by two, the 12, and then eventually also part of the 72 that were sent out two by two? They were stunned. They were amazed that even the demons listened to them, obeyed them. Big things were in the future for these men, but how could they possibly have had any idea at this moment what it meant for them to follow Jesus? They dropped everything. They dropped their nets. They dropped their boats, their livelihood. Two of them even dropped their father on the spot, left him to tend to the business himself. They left their families. They dropped everything about their lives that was certain and comfortable and customary. Jesus called. They followed. At once. Immediately. How easy is it for you to follow, to simply follow Jesus? Like that. Again, we know so much about Jesus. We know so much more about Jesus than even they did in that moment. We know about the realities that played out in the life and the ministry of Jesus that impact our lives, our hope for eternity. We know when Jesus calls us to follow him, who he is, the one and only being that has ever existed, that could stand in the breach between a broken, sinful, rebellious humanity and the Creator God who demands an accounting for everything we've thought and said and done. That's what Epiphany season is all about, our step-by-step process through understanding and seeing and trying to comprehend how this person, this Jesus, could be both God and human at the same time, so that while he's God and holy, he's also tempted and human and hungry and all the rest. I mean, the idea of how all of this fits into one being, one person who is the only one who can weave together throughout a 30-plus year life perfect obedience, complete righteousness and holiness in response to every law of God and every law of humanity that applied to him in that moment. Continually building in that perfect obedience the life that he would place on the altar of the cross to willingly offer himself as the substitute for you and for me, to pay the price. Now, when the disciples started following Jesus, they didn't know where it would end. They certainly understood and thought him to be the Messiah, and they certainly had awareness of Old Testament prophecies that laid out who the Messiah was and what he would do, and even what he would endure. But they couldn't possibly have known in that moment that following Jesus would almost end in his death. And you know why I say the word almost. Because unlike everyone else, it didn't end with death, did it? Because during his ministry, he claimed that he would raise himself from the dead, that on the third day, he would again appear alive as proof of everything he had said and his authority to not only call disciples, but to project them, authorize them out into the world with the message of forgiveness and salvation from God. And on that third day, he rose as the proof that his life was perfect, that his payment was accepted by God, that you and I are free from our sins, and we do have hope of eternal life, for he is the firstborn from the grave. You and I know all of this. They couldn't have possibly have known all of this. But they simply followed Jesus everywhere, into everything he wanted them to experience. Every element of their lives now became following Jesus, listening to Jesus, doing what Jesus told them to do, pursuing the opportunities Jesus offered them and invited them to play out in serving him, his word, and his kingdom. How easy do you find it to simply follow Jesus? Well, if your mind is like mine, and maybe one or two of you may actually be like me in this, the first thing you do is step back a little from it and say, it depends on how you're defining follow, right? Because it's a little different than what's going on here. I follow Jesus. He plays a big role in my life. I listen to him. I rely on him for my forgiveness and my salvation and even for guidance in my life. But if you mean following him in everything, every day, in every way it could possibly be applied by the scriptures, the way the disciples clearly did in their moment where they were with Jesus face to face, you got me. I'm not following Jesus that way. And really nobody can they? Every once in a while, when I'm listening to someone preach, something they say, some application of law or gospel, hits me between the eyes in a way that often doesn't happen. It happened in the last week. A number of us were at a conference together, and in one of the sessions, during one of the presentations, I was confronted with a sin that I hadn't really thought much about, quite frankly. But I think it speaks directly to the issues of what is on the page in front of us today and why I struggle to follow Jesus. The presenter talked about this moment in the history of our country. It's something you've heard me talk about with some regularity, the idea of at this moment, we are the wealthiest, most progressed civilization that has ever existed. We have a freedom like no other culture has ever known in so many ways, expressing itself for good or bad. But in that conversation, the issue of comfort came up. The idea of how much our day-to-day life, in all the different ways that we pursue things in our lives, comes back around to finding comfort for ourselves. Occupation, hobbies, relationships, investments. Start naming them and you can come to just about everything that you and I involve ourselves in, that you can make the case that one of the most important things for your average everyday American living in this culture is to find comfort level and then maintain that comfort level almost to the point of it being a god, being a preoccupation, being a diversion from what is said to us in verses like this. I had to own it. I had to confess it. I had to realize in my own mind, in my own heart, this simple reality that a big reason why I struggle to follow Jesus the way the disciples here followed Jesus is it's uncomfortable. It takes me outside of my comfort zone. It takes away from me things that make me feel comfort, that I prefer. So simple, isn't it? But isn't it very natural when you and I hear and see a verse like this and start asking ourselves the question, making ourselves look in the mirror, asking why don't I follow Jesus as simply as they did, what the actual answers are, and how quickly that turns into a law gospel conversation where I have to challenge myself with the reality of my sinfulness, my self-interest and selfishness and my desire for comfort in every area of my life winds up being such a catalyst in the decisions that I'm making and the challenges that I know for simply following Jesus. When you think it through, following Jesus the way they did, that's a miracle. That's a miracle that demonstrates the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit in their lives as much as it demonstrates it in our lives. That we know Jesus, that we trust Jesus, that we rely on Him, that His Word not only means something to us but draws us deeper into itself in a way that leads us to a deeper understanding and a deeper reliance and a deeper connection. And when it's all said and done, none of us, and not even them, are capable of simply following Jesus without it being Jesus that causes it in the first place. We know what Jesus was inviting them to. We know how it turned out. We know what Jesus is inviting us to. And we know how it will turn out. So along the way, every day, in every circumstance, you and I can ask ourselves the question, how is Jesus asking me to follow him right now? In this decision, in this conversation, whatever it may be. Every time we do that, we will be tempted to make all kinds of considerations and excuses, which may only filter through our own minds and our own hearts, or we may actually share with someone else and own it. But then you and I are drawn back again to that simple reality that what he intends us to see in moments like this, in places like Matthew 4, is a God who opens his arms wide to broken, sinful people and calls them to do extraordinary, supernatural things, not because it is somewhere in them the wherewithal to make it happen, but because intrinsic in the invitation of the word that comes from our God is his power, his righteousness, and his ability to make it happen. So when you and I examine ourselves against such a question, how easy is it for me to simply follow Jesus? Acknowledgement and confession becomes a very natural response. That can be followed by the realization that the one who's opening his arms wide in invitation knows you, desires you to live with him forever, has done everything necessary to make that possible as a reality for you, and a guiding influence on every single moment of your life. So all that's left is to open this word and to hear his voice. And when he calls you, moment by moment, word by word, to follow, he'll lead you in his love to an eternity beyond your wildest dreams. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.